Item number 9, action regarding the resolution 2014-13 relating to the composition of Brown County Planning Commission Board of Directors. I'd like to make a motion that we adopt resolution 2014-13. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Trustee Gettis seconds. Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Item 10, action regarding the public works minutes from June 12th, 10A, the purchase of a Western Star truck with a Hankey plow. Is there a motion with regard to this item? Trustee Gettis?
I'm going to adopt the public works recommendation and authorize the purchase of the plow and
the truck.
And the truck.
Is there a second? Trustee Raptor? Discussion? Trustee Gettis or Trustee Raptor?
No, Craig has a fairly detailed analysis of the purchase. It's going to come out of the equipment replacement fund. It's a budget replacement in terms of life expectancy, and Craig described the attributes of the truck and the plow, and they had a pretty cost effective deal. So it was both recommendation of the Public Works Committee to the board for approval of the acquisition.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? The motion carries. Item number 10B, the traffic items, namely the yield sign and the curb striping. Is there a motion with regard to this item? Do you want to take them separately, Trustee Gunner?
Yeah, just a point of correction. On the memo, they're talking about Lazar and Van Buren. That really doesn't exist. I think it's Lazar and Ducharme that we're talking about.
Yeah, you're right about that. It's Ducharme.
So we would just change the reference to Van Buren to Ducharme.
Okay. Do you want to take them separately or together, Trustee Gunner?
I would.
As long as there's that...
With that
editorial comment.
Okay. I would move to approve both.
With that edit?
Right.
Is there a second? Trustee Gass, second. Any discussion? Trustee Harris?
I don't know if it's not with regard to this one, but do we have any other unprotected intersections that we're getting resident comments about?
Not that I'm aware of at the moment, but we tend to come across one or two a year. So, yeah, this has happened before on other locations. And there's also been a few that we've looked at from the department standpoint. But when we brought it forward, the decision was the traffic volume was so low, let's just leave it alone. So we had both scenarios.
Okay. Thank you.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? The motion carries. Item number 11, action regarding the 2014 street maintenance repair construction contract award. Is there a motion with regard to this item? Trustee Raptor?
I'll move to approve.
Is there a second? Trustee Gass?
I'll second.
To the Public Works Committee. Discussion? We want to hear from Mr. Burns?
I would like to hear from Craig on right, being asked to approve the budget. Did you open the bids? Or?
Yes. I was out yesterday, so... We kind of finished the analysis this morning and put it together. It should have been on the tail end of your packet. And one is the bid tab. That's a two-sided sheet. And the low bidder was Northeast Asphalt. And then on the back side of that sheet was the list of the bid items. tallied up to the total. And then there's another sheet which was an analysis of the bid. And I assume you have it, if not, I've got some extra copies here. If you look on the right-hand side, it says bid actuals. Going down that column, you can see there's two streets there, Hilltop Drive, Hilltop Way, and Somerset Drive. Those are under the bond issue. And they're under the bond issue because they're two larger streets, significant amount of money, and so those were planned to be paid for under this bond issue that we just had. And you can see they're at about $347,000. So that's a little bit below what we estimated that cost would be when we went to bid. And then the operating budget's the next group. And we budget for $225,000 for street work. That's paving and reclaiming work. And you can see that the cost comes out, we estimated about $214,000, and we have additional street repairs and patching that we've shown there so that we use the whole $225,000 in the budget. So in essence, what we didn't do in this case is we didn't have another street that we could add in as an alternate that we thought could fit the maintenance budget. So we just left it as it was, and either use it, we have a need for more patching work on our streets, no question about we got a lot of patching that needs to be done. So we thought we'd either use it for patching or we'd use it for a small street, later on, or even carry it over. Part of the reason that we have that surplus is because if you look at LeBron, the estimated cost is about $95,000, but we're going to be sharing the cost with here, so our actual cost is going to be about $45,000, and that's what kind of gives us that surplus in here. And then if you go down to the next group, this is the repair work that's done, curb, sidewalk, and street patching, that is for water main breaks, water service leak repairs, storm sewer repairs, and things of that sort. So a portion of the cost of all that work is street patching. And this is where that money comes from for that. And also in there, right in the middle, it says asphalt patching. That's our budget, $50,000 for asphalt patching. Bottom line is, if you bring this down to the bottom of what we believe we're going to be, what we have in the budget and what we're going to be spending is the $746,000. The bid was higher, partly because there's that $45,000 in it that the pier is going to be paying us back, but that was in that bid price, so we have to subtract that out. And in our quantities that we had in the bid document, when we went back now and plugged this into the actual, what we think actual quantities are, the list in the bid was a little higher than what it's actually going to be, and that's about $30,000. So you can see, if you subtract out the extra money that we have, it comes out about the same to what we have in the budget. So I just wanted to show that so you could see that this is what we expect to spend, and that's what we have in the budget to do that work. Because this is a unit price contract. It's not like some of our other jobs where it's a street cost, per se, with all utilities and other things. This is unit price, and it varies a little bit as we go through the streets. And then down at the bottom, is the comparison of 2012, 2013, and 2014. President Van de Avon asked that we just show some numbers here so you can see how costs have related over the 3 years. But when you look at this, you have to recognize contractors shift their bid numbers around a little bit. And if they think that you're going to do a little more curb work than what you estimated, they'll give you a little higher price on the curb, but they'll subtract it from something else. And you can see that in these numbers. But really what's most important, if you look at the patching, the first two items, you can see we were at 32 and 28 in 2012, 30 and 24 in 2013, and this year 30 and 30. So the numbers are really about the same over 3 years. And if you look at some of the other numbers, you can kind of see that they track pretty constant year by year, except for where they adjust them up or down.
Landscaping, the last item you can see, has blown up a little bit over 3 years. So it doesn't give you an exact answer on how prices have changed, but you can see they're pretty close.
So Craig, how much?
I understand how prices might change from year to year because of, you know, the price of materials would change, or if they think we're going to do a little more of one thing than the other. I'm confused, though, and I always am every time we get some of these bid specs. For example, on the contract between the quotes between Northeast and MCC on, I guess it's the second page, number three for the pulverized bits, whatever that is, $45,000 versus $12,000. I guess it's material. I would think material would be the one thing that might be pretty equal between contractors, and maybe the labor or would be different. But this, right? Does someone have
their own quarry, or they're making their own?
If I recall right, Northeast Asphalt has their own pulverizing machine.
Oh.
So you'd expect their cost to be lower. MCC contracts it up, but that still doesn't explain why it would be four times higher.
Yeah.
But when I said they kind of balance or unbalance their bid based on the work, I think that's a case where they expect that there's going to be more pulverizing than what we have enlisted in our quantity, and so that number they made higher. And then they took it out of something else, like if you look at paving, they're significantly lower on paving, item seven.
Yeah.
But binder course, number six, they're higher.
It's interesting. Okay.
We can't explain why they come up with the numbers because it's just a guess, you know.
Right. Okay. Fair enough. I'm sorry, Trustee Rock.
Craig, being new to the Public Works Committee, I know this was all discussed before. Your memo said that showed two numbers for a total of 575, and then we have the additional 175. How much do we actually have in the budget for these projects in the 2014 budget?
Well, the items where it says water service, water main, sanitary sewer, storm sewer, including under sidewalk and hydrants.
Yep.
Water services has about $30,000 in its budget. Water main has $50,000. Sanitary sewer has $50,000. Storm sewer has $50,000. Curb and gutter is $10,000, sidewalk is $10,000, and hydrants is $5,000.
Okay.
They're in the utilities budgets is where those are.
Okay.
And then the asphalt patching at $50,000 is what the budget is under that line item in Public Works, $50,000.
Okay, so we're being asked to approve the 746 or the 821?
Well, it's to execute the contract, which is the 821, yes. But we won't be spending the 821.
It'll be 821 minus 45.
Yes.
Trustee Harris?
Is it common, historically, on the additional street repairs and patching, $74,000, to not have that more specifically identified? I completely understand that
normally
we've got
pieces
to take care of, but should that be identified up front, or is that not how it's been done historically?
No, the reason it ended up this way is because when we prepared the contracts and we looked at our estimate, we only had about $30,000 left, so we didn't identify another street. Because for $30,000, we couldn't do another street. So we just left that as a contingency, if you will, and thinking that knowing that we need to do a lot of asphalt patching, we thought we may just use that additional $30,000 for patching. In going through this analysis, and we've been going back and forth with the peer on the run and trying to move that forward to get that completed, that's where the additional cost share came in that we didn't account for originally. So that's what gave us the extra money. My suggestion is that we use at least some of it for street patching, because heaven knows we have a lot of areas that could use some more hot asphalt patching. Whether we use the whole amount, that's something we have to look at. I don't know that I want to use the whole amount, but we have more than $50,000 worth of patching that we really should be doing. So that was what our original thought was, that $30,000, use that for patching.
Thank you.
So for the 821, the bidder was given all this information, what we equaled 746.
Yes. Well, no, they don't have our cost analysis.
Right, but all those line items, that's
but
what they're bidding on.
All those line items were in there, yes. We never do come out to the total contract amount. You know, when we bid on a unit price contract like this, mm-hmm. we don't really hit that total contract amount.
So this is a...
It's not unusual to be below it. Okay. This is a little bit more below because we've got the Brown Street in there where we're cost share.
So is the 821, is that a fixed bid or is that a not to exceed number?
It's just unit prices. Just depends on the quantities.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed?
Was there a second?
Yes, Randy seconded.
Thank you.
Yeah, the two.
Okay. Sorry.
And did I ask for opposed?
No.
Opposed? The motion passes. Item 12, action regarding the appointment of Robert Kapla to a committee commissioner board. I'd like to make a motion that we appoint Robert Kapla to the Board of Appeals as a regular member and the Board of Ethics. Is there a second? Trustee Gatz?
I'll second.
Discussion? And we'll have to, I have to publicly extend a thanks to Mr. Kapla. He, one, for actually putting his name in the hat and agreeing to volunteer for the village, but two, because he had as his preference to work in park and rec, and it didn't really work out that we had enough spots in there for all the people who wanted to work in that area, and he agreed to put his name in the hat for any bar that we needed it. So I really appreciate his flexibility. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Action regarding the appointment of Robert Ferguson to a committee commissioner board. I'd like to make a motion that we appoint Robert Ferguson to the Park, Rec, and Forestry Committee and the Board of Ethics. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Trustee Gitter, seconds. Discussion? Again, I need to publicly thank Mr. Ferguson for agreeing to volunteer for the village. He's been involved quite a few years and he keeps going. Wonderful. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Item 14, action regarding ordinance 2014-15, creating section 2.07F, confidentiality of income and expense. Is there a motion with regard to this item? Trustee Guest?
I move to adopt the ordinance.
Is there a second?
Trustee
Gingrich. Discussion?
Could we get a description of what this is all about?
Ms. Payne?
This was an act that was actually passed in 1997 and should have been part of our ordinance in order for confidentiality for any information given to the assessors. So it's just clean up something that was noticed that should have been in there.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
I got three cuts. Whoops.
And you still have questions for you?
Someone
I
else
same thing three times. I could ask it three times if you'd like.
Someone else must be missing one.
Unless there are objections, we'll take the consent agenda items 15A through C together.
Should be A through D.
A through D.
And we've got two
A
C's.
Through double C.
Yeah.
A through D. Is there a motion with regard to items 15A through D? Trustee Getz?
We'll go for it.
In some cases, you're accepting and placing in the file. Is that the understanding?
That's what I understand.
Okay. Trustee Dart?
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Item 16, reports. Monthly report from DEO Lotnow on ways to reinvigorate the neighborhood watch program. Seems to fit in with our previous discussion.
I did get the mysterious black cabinet from Webster Avenue Market. We did not have keys for it that we could find. Brad helped me order a new key for it. We can just break in at least. There was nothing groundbreaking in there. It was old flyers and community police and here's a lot related information, not specifics on any current groups or that were out there. More recently, I did make up a flyer that I took to the Movie in the Park night to try to generate some interest, and I'll be looking for opportunities to hand that out. I would like to make some copies for the board to hang on to in case anybody is approached by anybody, or if you know of anybody that ever asks, we have that information available. And from there, I'm also going to start Mark Roberts and get some cadets together and kind of, I guess, grassroots, so to speak, start hitting neighborhoods, handing out flyers or putting me in doors just to generate some kind of interest, see if we can identify the groups that have been there, or make up new groups that are willing to try to get some block captains together.
Folks that were here tonight seem like a great place to start. I mean, they're really motivated to take a community approach, neighborhood approach to solving this problem.
We start doing the mailings at the top folks tonight. I think that's another opportunity to add that to the announcements and send out notifications.
Any other questions or suggestions for?
And one question. Could we consider doing one preemptive mailing to let all residents know that this has come up, it's been very important to the public, and that we want to start neighborhood associations to help the public protect itself and build community. Do it one fell swoop. You can include your brochure, but then encourage them to either come to a meeting or to contact you. But put one mailing out to the entire community.
As far as neighborhood watch or the association, or
so I thought we were kind of talking about them as the same thing.
Sorry. As far as when we do start doing, if we do the sex center notifications like we talked about tonight, that would be another opportunity. I'd probably add something about the neighborhood watch.
Yeah.
In those announcements.
I was just wondering if we could start a village-wide effort right now.
Yeah.
And do one mailing to try and recruit people who might be interested.
Like
a great idea.
A paper mailing?
Yeah, paper mailing. That'll open.
Let's try to do that. I don't know what the costs involved are as far as we try to get the entire village.
And that would be my concern. I mean, the cost associated with a village-wide mailing. I think what we might want to do, and it makes sense to me, is give this issue some further thought. Actually come up, on an alleyway map with the neighborhoods as we see them. And I think that could be worth a page and all about alleyway, when that comes out, first part of next year. But actually, set up wards and say, look, we're looking for people in these areas to take charge of a neighborhood association.
Well, Mr. O'Rourke had the idea of there are sort of already established neighborhoods, and I'm not sure
subdivision maps
was going to get them to someone, but I think DEO Lotnow, did you get a copy of any sort of subdivision mapping? Was it historic?
I sent it from the Brown County Planning.
From the planning, okay. All right, so we already have some concepts of how we might go about at least initially breaking up the village into different neighborhoods based on the subdivision.
How much does it cost to do a village-wide?
I don't know. The alley must be around 29 cents or so.
I mean, 5,000 households.
5,000. 41 cents.
5,500, I think, is our mailing.
It could be a postcard, though.
It could be a postcard.
Right? Can you explore that? Some, Brad, could you? Or Debbie, could you?
Because we do mailing, so.
Yeah. Postcards would have
we've
to
got
have
mailing out.
What's our
rather than us
printing.
What's our postage every month for the water bills? That'll take care of every household, and you're doing a postcard. So if we just see what that postage bill is every month, that'll at least give us a ballpark figure.
Sure.
Yeah, I think that's an investment worthwhile. If we think, you know, if we're placing the importance on building those neighborhood organizations.
I think it's more advertising than it is informational. I mean, right? Because one in every 50 households is probably going to actually take action with regard to it, not throw it, you know, directly into the recycling. But it sends the message that we're really serious about this and that the, you know, the village is behind trying to organize these things. So if we can get an estimate of what it would cost, we could make a decision on whether to actually do the mailing or not.
Well, if we didn't, if we just find one and have the groundbreaking one actually, you know, put some signage in their neighborhood to say welcome to whatever name. I mean, that'll catch on because people will see it and that's what that's all about.
Right.
So, postcard regarding neighborhood watch and neighborhood associations.
The way we talked last time is, I think we need to couch the neighborhood watch in the neighborhood association thing. I don't want this to be. The neighborhood associations are much bigger than just safety and neighborhood watch, and so I thought we decided to sort of take the approach of focusing on neighborhood associations, and within that, one of the functions of the association might be to develop watch programs. Does that make sense?
I do have the information that you're doing at the last meeting in my mailbox to the association, so I'll see what the postcard cost, I guess, would be. And we'll see if we can come up with an estimate.
We can do a press release, see if we can get the Press Gazette to pick it up.
Right. We'll have to think about how we're going to work and what's the news. Is it that we're going to have a meeting or that we're just starting this? So heads up for if someone comes knocking at your door asking about neighborhood associations or what, sort of think about what the message is.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Good. Anything else with regard to the Neighborhood Watch, Neighborhood Association issue? Thanks, Rick. Craig, update on Hoffman Road.
We are nearly complete with the utility work on Hoffman Road. It will be about another week or so, and we should be done with all of our utility work, except there's some storm sewer that needs to be repaired and replaced, and that will be going on after that when Brown County starts their work. So about the 10th or 12th of July, we should be pretty well done except for the storm sewer. The right-of-way has been acquired for the roundabout. That's complete. So the four property owners, the agreements have been reached, and that's proceeding. The roundabout will be where the construction starts by Brown County on the roadway itself. And that will start about the 15th of July. They'll start milling that roadway going east to the bridge. And it'll take about 2 weeks to mill the road and do the subgrade work. The road is going to be lowered in some spots, and so there'll be some excavation and graveling to lower the road bed, particularly in the area of the intersection of East River Drive. The road's going to be lowered about a foot there.
Ooh.
So from a About July 15th to the 30th, that road bed will be completed on East Huffman Road. We're looking at the idea of starting the concrete work, replacing curb and sidewalk earlier on the west section of Huffman Road, and getting a quote from the concrete contractor. The county is getting a quote if the contractor would provide the removal of the old curb. Brown County was going to do that work, but they're tied up in some other work and won't be able to get to it until later on. We might be able to move up the completion of the west portion of Huffman Road if we retain the contractor to remove the old curb rather than wait for Brown County. Don't have a decision on that. They're just starting the process of seeing how that impacts cost. Anyway, from August 1 to August 15th, concrete work will be done on the east portion of Huffman Road, and hopefully at the same time on the west portion of Huffman Road, the repair work on the west portion, the installation on the east portion from Libel East. And after August 15th, start paving. They would like to be complete somewhere around, say, the 10th of September. So that's the overall schedule that we're looking at.
Is there any utility work between Libel and East River? Is that all done?
There is relining the sanitary sewer. We're doing an in-place in situ form lining. Contractor is working right now. There's probably one section between two manholes that they won't complete right now because we have to replace a couple laterals. So they'll come back and do that after the laterals are done. So that'll be mid-July, but that'll be done. And that doesn't affect anything else because they just go to the manhole, pull the new pipe in, pressurize it, seal it all up, let it cure out for a few hours, and we're done. So there's no excavation on that. But basically all we have left to do is to hook up the laterals, sanitary laterals, and then the last piece of in-situ form lining in that sanitary sewer. So that's going pretty well. We're right on target with our schedule as far as utility work.
Craig, you and I talked about this a little bit. I heard from some of the folks in the Huffman shops that are worried about their business and I know there are some intricacies as to who owns the project. It's my understanding that it's basically a county project after we're done with our utility there.
Right.
It's a county project. But they're worried about their business, and they're not sure exactly how long the road's going to be blocked off completely, and whether it's going to be weekends only, and even if it is. And they want to explore the idea of doing some off-site signage so that people know, whether they're coming down Libel or Webster, how to get to those shops. And I think it's a reasonable request that we work with them to help them. They even offered to buy the signage.
That's what we're planning on doing this. What I did was when you and I talked about it.
Yeah, okay.
I went to the county and I said, look, folks, you need to get with these business people and make sure they understand how the traffic's going to be routed and what's going to happen. And it took a few days. I wanted them to go start that dialogue first because it's their road work in that area. And if they're dealing direct, it's a better way to communicate on those issues, and then they're more aware of concerns. And it seems like that went pretty well. And we had some dialogue with the county before they talked with, for example, a Village Grill. And one of the questions was signage. They don't normally put out those kinds of detour signs, but I said, we're not adverse to it. We would actually go put them up.
Right.
I said, but let them know that. So I've been playing telephone tag because I was off for a day or two. I've been playing telephone tag, and tomorrow morning we have a teleconference on that. And basically, if they give us either what they want on the sign and we can print the sign here, or if they go print the sign, we'll put them up. And it's basically just to take, because the detour from Brown County, that detour is a big detour. And that's way out of the way for people, but it's for truck traffic.
So what we want to do is just route them down to Broadview and down and back, you know, a couple simple routes. And those will be signs we'll put on wood posts and we'll put them on the corners with arrows. That's what I'm envisioning.
Okay.
And so there'll be people who will see that, they'll know they can get downtown.
Okay.
To the mall there. And the mall itself, the intersection itself, will only be out of commission for probably 2 days. And they do the work right in the intersection there at Libel and Huffman. So I think, you know, after that it'll be gravel, people can get across. And I think it should work okay.
Okay. Thank you.
It's complicated, but we're trying to keep it open as much as we can.
And then could you just explain quickly why the road bed would be lower at East River Drive and Huffman?
So we can send water to Bellevue.
We should slope it all the way down towards it.
I think the best explanation is that the road is high. And what I mean by that is you've got ditches there on both sides of the road, and that road is constructed relatively high.
Okay.
There's plenty of drainage. We can lower the road down a bit, and it reduces the amount of excavation and saves cost.
Oh, okay.
And the curb, then, when you put curb in, we're going to be high with the curb on those driveways to those homes. So lowering the road gets that curb down, so we'll better match existing driveways. So that's really the two reasons.
Okay.
And it really does reduce the cost. That's a big cost for excavation out there, and this brings the cost down.
Because that's a low spot anyway, right?
Yes. It's the low spot anyway, but it's still too high.
Huh?
So that is a nice fit. We looked at it very close, and we think it's a real nice fit.
Okay. How closely do you enforce local traffic only, not you personally, but you know that section from Webster to Libel now is local traffic only?
Why are you asking, Trustee Kim?
Well, I had to tell my wife I was on official village business on Sunday when I cut through there. So that was the only thing I could come up with.
Well,
I was on my way to my daughter's house, but that was my excuse anyway.
We looked at it this way. If you're brave enough to try to drive through, good luck. No, it's really, they don't enforce it where they know. And there are people that drive through there.
Sure.
And for the most part, especially on weekends, it's open, you can get through. And they keep it in pretty good shape. Actually, the contractor has done an excellent job on his work. He really has. He's kept it as clean as he can, kept the debris off. In the next couple of days, everything will be cleaned off of that road. It will be just wide open, other than the fact it's still, you know, millings and construction, but everything will be off of the road, so it will be easier for people to drive.
Yeah, it looked good. It's in good shape.
Yeah, but Trustee Gingrich didn't get his alleyway flags that you put on the front of your vehicle.
I never got those.
Siren, too.
Yeah. That I'd like.
Craig? That house at the northeast corner of Libel and Huffman? The lady who's going to have her garage reconstructed,
yes.
Are we still reconstructing her garage? Or
yes, we are. We're reversing the garage so you come in the back.
Didn't start yet. I checked that, too.
Yeah. See, official business.
The appraisals, the agreement covers, that's the one property that had a fairly significant estimated drop in property value as a result of the project, and it's because of the change in the garage. But there'll be another estimate done after the project is done. So it's built into the agreement with her. But when the project's done, there'll be another estimate. And if it truly comes in at that, then that'll be a project cost to be shared by us and Brown County.
To make it right to it.
Yeah.
Right to the home.
So, and they were comfortable with it.
And how, so let's say it comes in $20,000, does she simply get a check for that, or how do you?
Yeah, that's what it would be. Yeah.
Okay.
I think the appraisal difference in value was $24,000. But I think in the negotiations between Brown County, individual that handles that and the movies, I think they settled at $30,000 for some additional work. So it is what it is.
So their property value is going to go down because of the reconfiguration of the garage?
That's what the appraisers are saying, yes. So it will be reappraised afterwards. Actually, when we looked at it, it would be nicer, because it's better access, because they don't have good access to their garage right now. It's a dangerous spot. Where the driveway will be, it'll be much safer. So maybe that will come back in the final appraisal. We'll see.
Okay.
It looks just a little, it might look, in the front of the house is clearly unliable. And, and I would think the fact that the roundabout's going to take out some of their yard, basically, their front yard is going to factor into it.
But the residents satisfied at this point in time? That's what's, the residents satisfied?
Satisfied, yes. Okay, anything further? All right, Mr. Berth, continuing with the Water Authority bond issue, report on that.
This is just an update for you. We, last week, the Water Authority Board did approve going ahead with the final preparation and getting ready to advertise and bid the refunding bonds on July 24th. There'll be a meeting on July 16th, which will be the next regular authority meeting. We moved it up by 1 week so we could meet before releasing it for bidding for a closing date on the 24th. This is something we've been working on for quite a while. And the decision that was made, and I sat on the board for this meeting and the previous meeting, and between Howard, myself, and DePere, we felt that now is the time to move forward because we're at the low point in the bonds, in the bond market, which you saw with our issue where it came in 60 basis points below where it was estimated at. We felt this is the low point in interest rates by Citigroup, which is our bond house that's going to actually sell the bonds. They're forecasting rate increase beginning in September. And so we felt this is the time when we have to move forward if we're going to save money and get this refinanced. So it is authorized to go ahead. It's being prepared, ready to be advertised. On the 16th will be the go-no-go decision, if you will, if you want to call it that. The only thing that might happen is we might delay it a week if we think the rates are going to go slightly lower. That may, a week or two, that would be it. The bond sale is going to take place late July or no later than maybe the first week in August. The reason why we're, and I'm just going to give you just a couple numbers here because I got a whole table of numbers and I can give you that if you want. But with our current debt, we will pay, as the Water Authority, $212,750,000 will be the total cost of our current bond issue. $212,750,000, rounded off. And with this bond refinancing, we will be at a total cost of $191,600,000. So you can see there's quite a drop there. That's about $19 million or so, we would say. I'm going to make it a little more confusing for you, just like the bid tab. I'm going to make it a little more confusing for you. That $191,600,000 includes the project that we have underway at this time to add storage capacity, which is $15 million. So you can see, even though we've moved ahead with this other project, which added to our debt, we're still going to be saving close to $20 million on this bond issue, which for Alloway means over the next 20 years, we save about 20% of that $20 million. So we save, $3 to $4 million is what the savings to Alloway this represents. So that's why we're doing this. And the reason why we're doing this other project is because in the original design of the system, we would have had to build a pump station at Cooperstown. By building these storage tanks, we put that booster station out 30 years from now because we won't need it for capacity. We'll be able to pump continuously from Manitowoc to the storage tanks to reduce our power cost by $40,000 a year because we won't be pumping at peak demand. We'll be pumping constant flow rate to the storage tanks. And the storage tanks give us protection against having a low pressure situation in the pressure main, and that's something we're concerned about.
we won't have that low pressure situation because we have constant head under pressure main with our storage tank. So there's multiple reasons, but it actually does defer future expenses and reduces the cost long term of our total project. That was a decision we made in 2013 and went forward with that. That's the safe drinking water unload at 1.9% interest rate. So that's even lower than our bond issue. So, long story, but we saved $20 million as an authority, even with the addition of another project.
And that was a $15 million project?
Yeah, it's a $15 million.
So we're at $36 million we saved, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, we basically went from $212 million to $175 million when we added the project.
Can we spend that $35 million?
All right.
Yeah, next item.
Just kidding.
Yeah.
The real age.
I tried to get some
celebrities to hand deliver. All right. Anything else with regard to the Water Authority? Thank you, Craig. Mr. Burns, or Mr. Lang, Trail Projects.
Trail projects. We'll start with the first one that's actually under construction. Sunset Park is under construction. They started all the groundwork today. Should be done in a couple days. About Thursday, because the requirements of the DOT, because of the holiday, they need to shut down by 11 o'clock to make sure that there's no truck traffic on the highways and stuff. So
okay.
Hopefully we'll be in pretty good shape come that time on Thursday anyway.
I see we did get a communication from the neighbor that had talked with us in the past, and part of it he was asking about those signs on, you know, the no trail access signs on West Briar.
Yeah, so Craig and I talked about that, I think it was Saturday, no, yeah, Saturday we talked about that. Excuse me, it was Friday we talked about that. So.
Okay.
And in that email, I'm sorry, am I alone?
Yeah.
Yes. In that email that we received, he also said that there's some kind of a sewer hookup that they believe isn't right because water comes up through the park. And he was concerned that that's right where the trail is going.
The storm sewer problem with water pool was it, wasn't it storm sewer, Trustee Rocker?
Yeah, he thought it was
water
a storm sewer.
Water pooling in places, yeah.
In the southwest corner there, I think he meant. Yeah.
So do we?
Do you know about this issue?
I didn't have a chance to check into it today to recheck what we did before, but what I recall from before is it's a storm sewer, and it's not anything wrong with the storm sewer. It's the ditch on the trail where there's drainage, and I think we had made arrangements with the county to go in and do some ditch work in there to alleviate the problem. And I don't know, maybe it never got done. I don't know. I have to check on it and see. I don't think it's sanitary sewer. I think it's that the outlet of that storm sewer, it goes into that ditch, and I think that ditch is full of debris, and that's what's backing up the water.
But his concern was if it keeps backing up, it might basically ruin the trail project, the new trail that we put in.
So I don't know. I have to go back and look. Okay. It was last year when we looked at it, and I thought it was taken care of. And it may well be taken care of, and not a problem now, but we just have to go back and recheck it.
Does anyone remember, does the email state a current observation of the water bubbling up from in that corner?
I think it was a spring issue, you know, during the spring of the year more so than now.
Something current,
okay. I think.
Yeah, if you could follow up on that, that'd be great. Thank you, Craig.
The number two trail, the reconstruction of the Rush Family Street Trail. July 9th, we'll be walking the trail with the contractor, identifying areas and actually identifying trees that were trees that either need to be removed or trimmed so that equipment can go through without any obstructions. July 14th at 10 a.m. will be the pre-construction meeting, and the hopes is to get started shortly thereafter. Because we are under a little bit of a time crunch with the Hawkins Road project as well. So that is the area that he's going to concentrate on first. And finally, believe it or not, after getting the official approval or awarding of a contract on October 27, 2010, I got notice today we can officially advertise.
Congrats.
Nice. For
on the Webster Avenue to the Fox River Trail.
The connection.
Cool.
The interesting aspect of this is I did get a letter from the DOT early June 6, actually, giving you a news gig that indicated that they do not see significant progress on our trail project. We would lose our funding, and that would have expired on October 27th of 2014. Gosh. So the time frame for this particular trail will be start date sometime in August, but the completion by November. It shouldn't take that long. So that's busy next few months.
Better late than never, right? Better really late. Any questions about the trail projects? Okay, is there a motion to adjourn? Trustee Rafter, second Trustee Dart, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Aye. We're adjourned.